It's hardwired into us. We simply have a gut instinct about who we can trust and who we can't. These are the opening words of an op-ed. What we're going to do is bring in or bring on our next guest. He is the former gubernatorial Republican gubernatorial candidate. And let me tell you something. This guy is ubiquitous since then. His name is the one and only Bob Stefanowski. Bob, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for quoting my editorial.
Yeah, well, of course. And I mean, I could have gone on and on and on and on, but then we'd have no time for you. And we'd rather chat with you. This is an outstanding op-ed that you wrote for the Hartford Courant.
Well, the governor's got a real problem now. You know, it was bad enough when he flipped on his campaign promise to not toll automobiles on day 38. And he's just come out with misrepresentation after misrepresentation. So when he says he's only going to toll tractor trailers, and he says he's never going to toll cars, and he says the rates are never going to go up, unfortunately, he's got no credibility left to back any of those statements. And the people of Connecticut are starting to see through it. It's a real problem he's got.
So then I have to ask you, do you in your heart of hearts, you talk about your gut feeling here in your op-ed, do you feel the governor quietly, in a quiet moment, if you were to ask him one-on-one, or somebody were to ask him one-on-one, do you think he would ever say that he is in over his head and he had never imagined what being the governor was truly going to be like?
Yeah, it's a tough question, Gary. I'm sure the role is a lot harder than you know, anybody thinks. But when you think about Governor Lamont's experience, he ran a small cable company. You know, he had 20, 25 employees. Yeah, he's got 50,000 state employees now. He's essentially running a Fortune 100 company, which is the size of the state of Connecticut. And I think it's a different skill set. And despite the fact that he's got a majority, a strong majority, as you know, mm-hmm. in the House and the Senate, he still can't get anything done. So I do think he's in over his head. I really do.
But would he admit that? Do you think he, in a quiet moment, could admit to himself then that, oh, my goodness, I never imagined it was like this. I'm in way over my head.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if he didn't. I'm sure he feels it. Whether he'd admit it or not, Gary, I don't know.
It just seems that... Listen, he wanted to be governor, and be careful what you wish for, because he is now in the hot seat making the decisions, and he comes across like a lost puppy, like a lost dog, you know, and where he doesn't know which way to turn. He can't get support from, you know, his Democrat members of the legislature in either the House or the Senate, because, Bob, if you think about it, there's such a majority in each chamber that if he wanted to pass this or any other version of a transportation bill that included tolls, he could have done this months ago. But the truth of the matter is, it's so poorly written, and it's really not looking out for the best interests of the middle class, that he's having problems getting it passed.
Well, that's a terrific point. I mean, you know, in fairness, he stepped into a horrible situation. You know, the state of Connecticut is essentially bankrupt. My criticism is not that. It's that he is not focused on the real issues that could start to get us out of this problem. For example, in the last year, has there been any discussion whatsoever on either side of the aisle about cutting costs?
Yeah,
you know,
that's my knowledge, no. A 1%
reduction to a $20 billion budget would raise $200 million, which is more than the amount under his latest tolling plan. Has anybody in the last year talked about the $100 billion underfunded state pension plan? So I don't know whether it's intentional, Gary, or it's just a lack of focus, but the biggest criticism I have is we're not focusing on the issues that are actually going to help get Connecticut moving if we can find a way to solve them.
Well, that do you have a copy of the of that latest transportation bill, the 32-page?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
And I'm sure you've combed over, you know, you looked it over with a fine tooth. What was your first impression when you looked at it, when you read it?
Well, number one, he snuck in the ability to put tall cars. You know, number two, it's got nothing addressing cost savings. Our overhead cost per mile of state roads is 8 times the national average. So before you start taxing the Connecticut people for more money, Why don't you at least try to be more efficient? So it allows a loophole for cars. He claims that the current bonding that we'd be doing would not allow tolling cars. But as you know, Gary, you can refund the bond or refinance the bonds, put a new bond in place very easily that doesn't have that restriction. So it doesn't, in summary, it doesn't live up to the promises that he's made about the bill.
You know, but however, the bondholders will just say, well, we just want to guarantee that we're going to get our money back. And if the state of Connecticut falls, I was just having this conversation with State Senator Tony Wong, that if the state of Connecticut finds out that they're falling short by trucks only, and let's face it, that's exactly what's going to happen. Just look at Rhode Island, 66%, shortfall from their original projections. Connecticut is going to fall into that same category. And if you're a bondholder, you just want your money back. So there would be some that would say he had no other choice but to include that in the bill. What is your...
Oh, you're right. I mean, any bank will say, oh, gee, you can't pay me with trucks. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll forgive your debt. Of course they're not going to say that.
No,
they're going to say, find the revenue
cars
or plastic bag taxes or wherever you need to find it, but find it. And you're right. Governor Lamont will use that as an excuse to toll automobiles.
How can anybody dispute that? That's going to happen within 2 years of this bill passing. So, yeah, we're going to enjoy, or we're not going to enjoy, but it'll be trucks only for 2 years, folks. And then the writing is right here. And I'm not going to say it's on the wall. It's right here on paper that it's let's cut spending. And that's the first thing that most people think of. Instead of trying to find another revenue source, let's cut spending. But there would be many that would say, Republicans as well as Democrats, that would say, you know what, where do we trim? You've heard the expression, let's trim the fat. But there's many instances in which there are some departments that there is no fat. You're trimming bone now. Where would you start? Would it be a 5% cut across the board in every department? Or are there some departments that are just off the table because they help our most vulnerable and our most needy individuals in the state?
Well, you certainly need to make sure that education and other things like that are funded. And in fairness, Gary, we're not in charge. You know, it'd be like saying to Jack Walsh at GE, you know, here's where you should cut. I'm a shareholder. I'm going to tell you where to cut costs. They're in charge. There's two issues I have. Number one, they're making no attempt whatsoever to do it. They're not even trying. Number two is there's plenty of ad hoc advice about waste, fraud, and abuse. Governor Lamont hired a COO. He hired a head of business development. He expanded a couple boards. You look at the abuses at the Port Authority where they're having $1,000 dinners.
Yeah,
they're staying over at fancy hotels, and they're doing all that on the taxpayer dollar. There is a lot of evidence out there that we are not as lean as we could be, and the taxpayers are getting tired of it. You know, they're scraping money to save for their kids' college education. Meanwhile, their tax dollars are going to some big officials in the Port Authority to have a nice dinner with expensive drinks, and people are fed up with it. So you can't tell me there's no place to cut costs. Is it a billion? Is it half a billion? I don't know, but there's guaranteed there's some there, and they owe it to the taxpayers of Connecticut to at least try. And that's both sides of the aisle, Gary, not just Democrats.
No, exactly. That was my point. There really are. It is people on both sides of the aisle that will agree with that. What would you do differently? Let's say you had won in 2018. Where would we be right now? Obviously, tolls would not be on the table, but there would still be the transportation infrastructure problem. What would be your way to solve that?
Well, I'll tell you what I wouldn't have done. My first act wouldn't have been to move $170 million of funding from the Special Transportation Fund into the General Fund. I would have left it there, and the fund wouldn't be insolvent. Number two, I would have declared a state of fiscal emergency because Connecticut is in a state of fiscal emergency. We should be looking at filing Hartford for bankruptcy, potentially New Haven, and potentially Bridgeport. I would have gone to every department head. I would have said, I want 1% to 5% cost cut, and if you don't do it for me, I'm going to come and do it for you, and you're not going to like the way I'm going to do it. I would have dealt with the $100 billion underfunded pension plan. We have to find a fair compromise on that, because until we do, this state is never going to start to turn it around. Now, I know I'm on a roll here, but what did Governor Lamont do? He focused on tolls for $170 million. He focused on a plastic bag tax. He focused on taxing rotisserie chicken. He focused on putting, a paid family medical leave bill in, which is really another payroll tax. He's done the exact opposite of what needs to be done to get Connecticut back in the right direction.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a very good point.
This state is dying for leadership, Gary, and to your earlier point, he's not showing it. I guess he's a nice guy. I don't know, but you know, you look at the best leaders in time. You look at Churchill. He wasn't defined as a nice guy.
No.
You know, he was defined as a strong leader who made tough decisions and turned things around. And that's what we need in our state right now. And this governor's not getting it done.
No. And in fairness, I have met him. I've met him in person. I've interviewed him, I don't know, three times, including one pretty comprehensive interview I did with him on the air for about, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes. He was a very nice guy. But you're right. You know, people don't elect you to be a nice guy. They elect you to make the hard decisions, and that includes moving the state into a right direction and one that's more fiscally responsible. But do you feel that he's being pulled by members of his own party? Because there's inner conflict between the progressive wing of the Democrats and the moderate faction of his party.
Again, maybe I'm being too blatant, but I think they're pushing him around right now. They know he's weak.
Yeah.
He's the second-to-last ranked governor in the entire country. He hasn't been able to pass tolls despite a year of trying. And if you're a Democratic legislator and you want to get reelected, that's not the type of person you're going to follow and run through a wall for. You're going to do the bare minimum, or you're going to do it in exchange for something. If you notice, his bonding package is back up now to where it really was. And you know what that is? It's a lot of behind-the-scenes gifts to legislators to try to twist their arms to vote for tolls.
That's exactly
so he's
right.
Lost the authority of the role because people don't, you know, think he's got it. And he's having to do other things to try to twist arms.
Yeah, it's bribing. It's paying the state legislator and a little extra money. Well, not, I shouldn't say, to be clear, not paying the legislator him or herself. I want to be very clear on that. But giving extra money to their district in exchange for a vote on tolls. So essentially, the state legislator, whether it's a state rep or state senator, is more or less selling their district down the river. For a couple hundred thousand dollars or whatever heck it happens to be. All I know collectively with all the money he's given out to all these districts for state representatives and state senators, it's collectively come to about $3 million. And it looks like more could be added to twist more arms for more votes for tolls.
That's right. You know, and I was hoping this year was going to be different, but you look at the initiatives he's rolled out, you know, and Chris Powell had a great editorial on this. I mean, not having Native Americans as mascots is a noble goal. It really is. I agree with it. But is that your number one priority going into 2020 in a state that's bankrupt? Is your number one goal to try to double down on tolls when the people for a year have been saying they don't want tolls? You know, you should be focusing on the $100 billion underfunded pension plan that, as you know better than I, you were in the legislature, eats up a third of our budget.
The
debt and the interest payments. And unless we get out from under that, we're never going to get out of this crisis.
Well, that would require, of course, breaking open the CBAC agreement and bringing the leadership of the state unions together at the table. And let's face it, they know that if they make any concessions, they know there'll be concessions they'll never get back.
That's exactly right. And the union leadership, it's not my phrase, I forget who said it, but they're the third branch of government in Connecticut. They have such power over this Democratic Party because they know they need them to get reelected, and they push them around.
They make a lot of donations, too. I mean, that's why they...
I know, but you know, look at last year. The governor said he was going to get a decrease in the cost of living adjustment. He was just going to reduce the COLA. That's not real punitive. He couldn't even get that done. The unions pushed back on him. He didn't even get the COLA reduced. All he did was push out the obligation for another 10 years, which our kids are going to have to end up funding.
Yeah.
So it's very frustrating, Gary. I hate to rant, but, you know, the guy stepped into a crisis. The people of Connecticut were ready for change with some strong leadership and some right decisions. We could have turned it. And I think we're worse off right now, the state of Connecticut, than we were 12 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And that's not a good thing for anybody.
No, that's not a good thing. And you feel bad for rank and file state employees because, I mean, they do a fantastic job. And they're, you know, what they do is they listen to their leadership who's just brainwashing or using propaganda to get them to vote Democrats. And what's happening is they're putting money in one pocket and taking it out of another.
Well, and I'm very sympathetic to that. You've got state employees. It's no fault of their own.
No, that's my point. It's exactly.
Package, and they've been donating, contributing into it for years. But the reality is one in three current state employees, by the time they retire, there's not going to be anything there.
Yeah.
So this administration is lying to them, too, by saying everything's going to be okay. We need to find a compromise. Maybe it's an early buyout where they can flip it to a 401k plan. You know, there's things you can do to structure this plan to get it solvent, but you need to have the leadership to step up to the union. That's the real problem. It's the union leadership. You got to step up to them and say it's time for a change. And this governor's just not willing to do it because he probably wants to get reelected, and the rest of the Democratic legislature needs the unions.
So you think he'll run again?
I don't know. I don't know.
I was going to say, there's many people who think he's just going to be a one-term governor by his decision. But
be interesting to see. Yeah. Who knows at this point? Still 3 years away.
Exactly. All right, Bob Stefanowski. Hey, listen, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We're going to be talking with you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. You got a great audience. You guys are doing a terrific job.
I appreciate that so much. You have no idea how much that means.